You know, excellence is a much needed thing. Because the first part of the definition of excellence is the attention to detail. And I don't think many people get much out of the Bible because they don't catch the details. They kind of read over it and so forth. But all right, let's look at Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading here at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, let's turn over to Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Okay. Let me just stop right there. What Abraham found out, he found out how to conduct his life so that God would treat him like he never sinned. That's what he found out. Okay? Just letting you see, that's what he found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham what? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All right, I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, I'm going to ask you to hold something right there so that we could see who in fact he was talking about. It was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now hold something right there. Let's go over with me to Galatians chapter 3. Now that's a few doors over, but if you can't get it, just look on the board here, because I want to just show you something. In Galatians chapter 3, okay? In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. So when he says to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, we know the natural seed, as we look down and see what his seed was, meaning that the next person in line was Isaac, that promise was also made to Isaac. Am I right about it? But Isaac was the promise child. Isaac didn't come naturally. They had to believe God when they were beyond childbearing to have this seed. You got what I'm saying? And so now Jesus, as you look through time, you'll eventually run up unto Mary, who had no husband and no one that she had relations with to have a child, but she had to believe for this child. And this child came into the earth, and that was the seed of Abraham. So God was not only speaking to Abraham, but he was speaking to Abraham and his who? Seed. Now, you and I are in him. Second Corinthians, put it up on the board. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says this, It says any man that is where? In Christ is a who? New creature. That's you. That's you. You are in Christ. So Christ is the seed. So you are in him. Now, he didn't say seeds as many. He said seeds at one. So you and him are one. You are in Christ. When you're in him, you get what he got. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, let that go. Let that go. All right? Because we're talking about Isaac. Isaac was a promised seed. And see, I don't want to go any further than that. Let's go. I'm coming back to Romans chapter 4. But let everything else go. Let's go to Hebrews, if you will. And Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And if I could get just a little bit more air flowing up here, it'll help me tremendously. Just turn it down one notch. Flow, okay, all right, I'll just keep flowing. All right, look what it says. Hebrews chapter 1. God at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by who? His Son, whom he hath appointed what? Heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now look at Charles B. Williams' translation. It says this: Jesus is the lawful owner of everything. He's the lawful owner of everything. Well, wait a minute now, hold on. Let that go. Come to Romans chapter 8, please. Because Jesus is the lawful owner of how much? Everything. Everything. Now look what it said in verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now hang on now, you're going to understand all of this. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the who of God, children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Keep going. Heirs of God. And what else? Joint heirs with Christ. So what is a joint heir? Come on, somebody help me. All right. So whatever he gets, I get. Yoo-hoo. Whatever he gets, I get. And if you read in Galatians what we read every Sunday, that we are blessed with faithful Abraham. So whatever Abraham got, come on, you get. Are you with me? Now, I'm getting on something now because I want to really get rid of some bad theology that's been circulating in the church. That's why I said, you know, folks in the body of Christ have had a love affair with poverty. And we need to shake that devil. Because there's work to do, and for this is called changing your world, by the way. And it's going to take, in cases, it's going to take some material wealth or material wherewithal to get things changed. All right, look, let's come back to Romans chapter 4, please. And let's just read that now with all this in mind that we just talked about. Look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Wow. What is an heir of the world? Just because this is not a trick question. I'm not looking for anything deep. I just want to make sure that you've got what I'm about to talk about here. Heir of the world. What, when I say this person here is heir of the world, what do you think that means? They just inherited everything in this world. Glory to God. Oh, okay. All right. Somebody got it. Okay. It was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So you can't enter into that place. You can't spiritually reposition yourself except by faith. Come on down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of what? Faith, that it might be by what? Grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to who? all the seed. He's not saying seeds, all the seed. All that are under Abraham, all that came under Jesus. This promise is sure to all of them. Glory to God. Are y'all with me here? All right, now, it says here that Abraham was the heir of the world. Now, let me just do a little natural talking here so we can bring you into this thing. Put up Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over what? Fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over how much of the earth? All the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And next verse, please. And God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Next verse. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have what? Dominion. Now, dominion is saying basically that you have charge over it. You're the one put in charge. Now, God was taking himself and saying, you've got the stewardship or lordship or what I call ownership. Now, just stay with me. Over this earth. So God is not running the earth. Got it? God is running the church. The church is running the earth. I'll try that again. He said, let them have dominion. Them is mankind. We know that Adam blew it. So Satan took it. But Jesus took it back. The Eden mandate is still intact. God's word will not return to him void. Isaiah 55, verse 8. It won't, it's verse 11. It will, whatever he says will come to pass. In other words, God doesn't mince words. He doesn't waste words. He doesn't sit up and talk a whole lot of stuff and nothing happens. Everything God says will happen. You got what I'm saying? Because he cannot lie. And if God comes in here and said, okay, I'm announcing tonight that this is Friday night. You may as well go on and have a fish fry because this is Friday night. See, whatever he says is, because he's the governor of all things. But his words don't come back void because he and his word are one. The integrity of his word makes it so that his word will produce whatever it says whenever he says it. See, that's why when Bishop Oedipo was here, he said, hearing the voice of God is a stronghold of faith. See, because if you ever hear his voice, it not only locks you in to a certainty that this thing would happen, but if God ever says it, he's got to do it. He's got to make sure it comes back because he said it. Well, God's going to pay my rent. Oh, is he? Did he tell you that? Well, I read it in here. I know you read it. There's a lot of folks that have expired that read it. But did he say it to you? Say amen to this. See, you've got to take it off the page and bring it alive. You've got to make it so it talks to you. That's the rhema of the word. That's where faith cometh. Glory to God. All right, now let's see. Can I keep going in here? All right, so let me read a little bit what I said last week. All right. You and I are both spirit and natural. And we have the power and ability to affect both realms. Okay? Now, Jesus demonstrated this many times in terms of the things that he did. Now, because he's left, he's passed on the power and authority to us, the church. All right? So I call this changing your world. Because what happens now is Paul calls you an ambassador. So you're going to be sent from heaven's government into places that you are to change those places to look like heaven's government. Oh, have mercy. Let me see if I can find the old notes here. All right. I don't want to go back. I want to keep going forward here. You are representing the kingdom of God. That's who you are. And your commitment is only, glory to God. See, I don't want to do a whole lot of teaching here around this. Let me just say this. You're responsible for bringing heaven's government to earth. And in the process, you are totally protected by heaven's government. You are not to relate more to the place that you're sent than you are to the state who sent you. You can only be called back by the king himself. Lord have mercy. Boy, this is good preaching right here. Now, our job is to go and replicate the government that we came from in the territory that you've been assigned to, and bring it under subjection. He can be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and do what? Subdue it. That mandate is still out there to us. Now, Jesus said, I never do anything except I see my Father do it. So Jesus was under orders, okay? Fulfilling the Father's will. All right. Now, let me give you a concept. Let's go to Isaiah. Now hold on, wait a minute. He said, I tell you what I'd like to do. Could I put up Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 on the screen, please? In the Amplified, please. All right. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of what? Faith. And depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of what? Grace, unmerited favor to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Now, stop right there. Let's go to Isaiah and chapter 51. Now, you're going to have to come out here with me. In other words, I'm leaving the shoreline. All right. Look at verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewed, unto the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and did what to him? Blessed him. And did what else to him? Increased him. Now, okay, let me keep reading. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Now, I just want you to see this. He's dealing here with transformation. And he's saying here that where he led Abraham did not look like the Garden of Eden. Why? Because it had to be transformed by faith. Okay? All right? Where he led me to this mall didn't look like the Garden of Eden. I wish you could have seen it before. Well, some of you are dead, I'm sure. Before we did anything with it. I mean, paint coming off, all kind of beat up. I think one business was leasing in here. It's very small. And so, I mean, it was two people that tried to make it go. Two companies had bought it in different times and tried to make it go. Nobody could make it go. Because we had the blessing on our lives. Then every place the sole of our foot shall tread upon. We're supposed to bring the garden into that place. Am I right about it? Okay. Now, go on down to verse 16. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the what? Heavens, and lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. Wee. Now, I'm going to talk to you. Now, stay with me. I'm going out somewhere. There is an invisible reality that is more real than what you can see. You and I are in the kingdom of God. Do you agree to that? But also the kingdom is in you. Put on the board Luke chapter 12, please. And verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's what? Good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. He is good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm going to put a word in there. The whole kingdom. Now, what it said in Luke chapter, put it up there. What it said in Luke chapter, Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, please. Luke 17 and verse 20, put that up there. When he was the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said to them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Keep going. Neither shall you say, lo here, lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's in you. So the kingdom of God is where? In you. All right, let's cool this thing down. You have got the whole kingdom in you. So when you go places, you are taking the kingdom. In the kingdom is everything that you need to fix where you go. And that kingdom is in you. Now I'm taking you further than Jesus wept, okay? You are a distributor of heaven's economy. It's in you. The economy of heaven is in you. That's why he said you go in places, you can pray for the sick and they can be healed, so forth and so on. Because this whole kingdom is operating in you. Now, let me ask you something. When you go into a neighborhood and it's all torn up and everything, how did it get that way? It just didn't tear itself up. People tore it up. And if you ever talk to the people, they're torn up. So what's inside of them manifests on the outside. Say amen to this. Now let's turn it around for the good. Because the garden is in you. And as you go somewhere, you're going to not say what they said. You're going to say what he said. You're not going to do like they're doing. You're going to do like he's doing. And what's in you is going to work itself out to the be out there. Now, every provision, everything that you need to straighten out where he's sending you is in you. Now, it's in spiritual form. Oh, man, I don't even know whether I'm making contact here. Praise God. Bring it down. This just didn't happen. Some of you may just have cities in you. Now the thing about it, what you got to understand is... Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Man, I'm trying to bring something down here. See, check this out. Here are people today, and they're moving in a way that the natural part of them is going more and more under dominion than having dominion. Got it? I mean, if you look at it, it's getting so that a cat is worth more than a human. Let me come over here. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm saying we're going more and more into, you know, I'm trying not to offend anybody by just talking like this, because I know you got a dog or something, and you got a golden plate and T-bone steaks. So I'm just saying that's what is happening, that more and more is the world being controlled by what it should be control of, what it should be in control of. You follow what I'm saying? We supposed to be over things. Instead of that, we're going further and further under them. I mean, they will take a person who's treated an animal wrong and almost hang him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
During my time, that dog stayed outside, and that's where he was. You know, when I was a kid, he come inside and stay all night. All night, you better get out there in that doghouse, boy. Now I'm see some of y'all. I see you getting touchy. You gotta understand. You gotta watch it, because that same coming under that is making it so. You are coming under disease. More susceptible to the things that you should be dominating. You're getting more susceptible to being dominated by them, and then offering some excuse as to why this is happening. Or other than the truth. It says in the Bible that pretty soon men are going to worship the creature more than the creator. And you got to watch that, because all of that, I believe, is rooted in one word: fear. Fear. Matter of fact, I want to do a little work with that. Can I do a little work with that? Now, don't get offended. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Take care of your petrol for the sword. But I'm saying you better be very aware of the fact that you are not surrendering yourself to the spirit of this world that is eventually going to worship that pet. It's in the Bible. Now, I'm saying this to you not to offend anybody. I'm telling you right now that what you got to do is make sure that in coming in contact with that world, you don't become like that world. You got to keep in mind who sent you and keep the culture of that in your mind. Say amen to that. The world has to let things happen. See, but you can do something about everything that's happening, because God is backing you. Jesus saw a storm and he stopped it. Jesus saw people that hadn't eaten in 3 days and fed them all. Jesus saw a man, and I believe this man in John chapter 9 had no eyeballs, because Jesus took mud and he rubbed them on his eyes. Why mud? Because mud is what made them. And I'm telling you, he said, what I did, you can do too. And if you don't know what to do about a situation, don't act like them and say, Lord, what are we going to do? Don't let that come out of your mouth. What you do is say, okay, I'm going to seek the Father. He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that he's laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. And so I'm going to access wisdom by faith, and I'm going to bed. And when I wake up in the morning, I expect to know what to do. And what I can do if I want to stay awake is just start praying in the Holy Ghost. And then I can ask for interpretation, and I can get heaven's resolution for the system and the things that I'm involved with. Say amen to that. I got in this building by faith, and they blocked me. The thing, I'm not talking about the people, but I was blocked politically, everything. But they can't block you if you hear the voice of God. I prayed in the Holy Ghost, and God told me what to do. It didn't make sense, because it's designed to make faith. And I just did what he said. The doors open, the Red Sea split, and here you are right now tonight listening at me. Now, this business about I got to wait and I got to wait and wait, I'm telling you, God has some stuff for you right now. Let me go back to my notes. Do y'all hear what I'm talking to you about? Man, I wrote some stuff in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Ooh-wee. Y'all got me preaching hard, and I wanted to preach here. From now on, you call the shots. Come on now. From now on, treat delays like anything else from the devil. Say amen to this. Treat them with disdain and contempt. Do not tolerate them for 1 minute. Don't tolerate delays. Don't tolerate setbacks. Don't tolerate any holdups. And don't accept any substitutes. You get the revelation from God, and it's right now. We shall overcome not someday, but today. And the problem with God's people is that we've been thinking wrong. And we've been thinking wrong because we've been taught wrong. I'm telling you, you got something to say about what goes on in this earth. God can't move until you move. So it's up to you to decide when something's going to happen. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, when we get back to this word, all of a sudden people start doubting. Go to a scripture with me, la ba shata. Go to a scripture with me. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you go over there with me real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No more fear. I said no more fear. See, people fear if it doesn't come to pass, how am I going to look? How are you going to look? You're going to look just like you look right now. Satan has used his fear to try to contain the church. And I'm telling you now, you need to get rid of every bit of fear that's in your life. Because that fear, if you've got it in your life, it has caused you to be used by people and tricked by sorcery. You need to say, I don't fear nothing. I don't fear dying. I don't fear getting sick. I don't fear failing. I don't fear anything. You confront every fear that's in your life. Say amen to that. God talked to me about that and said the enemy has intimidated the church. He has bullied the church. Well, he's not going to bully us any longer. Those days are over. You're no longer going to be preoccupied by what other people think about you. What they think about you is their business. You need to be concerned with what God thinks about you. Say amen to that. Don't fear rejection anymore. What if this doesn't happen? So what? Go back again. Don't play 9-inning game. Play till you win. Say amen to that. And that enemy is using that fear. Remember over in Joshua chapter 1, the only strong man that he mentioned in Joshua chapter 1 is Hittites. And Hittites come from that spirit of fear. And I'm telling you, we're going to get all the fear out of your life. The only thing you're going to have is a fear of the Lord. And that is means reverent respect for what God said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The reason why the enemy could put stuff back on people is because they fear it. They fear it coming back. Don't fear nothing. I'm telling you, it might take you a little while to work it out of your life, but you just set yourself like flint and you say, hey, every bit of fear that's in my life, I'm going to get it out. I'm not going to fear the devil. I'm not going to fear disease. I'm not going to fear destruction. I'm not going to fear anything else in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. Woo-wee. Look what it says here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, do you know some folk can try to change that around? Talking about all spiritual things. Shut up talking that kind of talk. All things are yours. He's putting the earth back into the rightful hands of its ownership. I'm telling you, everything is coming back into your hands. Everything you need, God has. If he doesn't have it in earth, it's in heaven. And you are a possessor of heaven and earth. Boy, I'm speaking more than you can take it now. And I'm telling you, you start speaking things into existence. That's why the man had to come here. Let me see, I wrote it down. We're entering into the golden age. That's why he had to preset. You're entering into a time where you can decree a thing. And it shall come to pass. Why? Because you're entering into the dispensation where you're going to act just like God. You're going to speak things into existence. You're going to tell the devil one time to shut up and get out. And that's all you need to tell him. You ain't going to have to be, come on out, come on out. Ain't no be none of that. Them days are over. Come out now. things are yours. I said all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, those are ministry gifts, whether the world or life or death, what it's telling you is death don't have any dominion over you anymore, that you tell death when to come. Death will not move till you tell it to move. Things present, things to come, all are yours, and you belong to who? Christ, and Christ belongs to who? God. Folks, it's our time, and I'm telling you, God has put some things inside of you. You are loaded. You wouldn't come in this earth, and the moment you came in here, he loaded the whole kingdom in you. Praise God in heaven. I want you to move out on it. So he's sending you into this world to transform this world. And whatever they say about you that's not in this Bible, it is irrelevant and immaterial. Don't even think about it. Don't even talk about it. Don't even repeat it out of your mouth. You just go by what God said to you in the name of Jesus. Now expect God to talk to you at every turn. And don't expect any time that you're going to be without God. You just ask God, if you come to the crossroad, ask God, which way shall I go? If you don't have the answer right then, just receive it by faith. Go to bed at night and get up, praise God, and just start quoting scripture and watch it come to you. Now y'all got me really speaking prophetically tonight. I didn't mean to do that. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, you're coming into a time where there's no more separation between heaven and earth. You are reconnecting heaven with earth. Those things are right there. If I think, I like the scripture where he says he makes all things new. So that tells me new car, new house. It tells me new furniture, new clothes. Come on. Come on over to Psalm chapter 115. Now, I don't know how I got this way tonight, but I'm telling you, God is in this place. And we've been waiting too long. We've gotten comfortable waiting. Something's got to give here. It's time for something to break. Verse 16, heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to who? The children of men. It's yours. I said it's yours. Turn to Psalm 105. Come on back to Psalm 105 real quick. God wants to put this earth and everything in it back into the hands of its rightful ownership. That just happens to be you and me. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm after mine. I said I'm after mine. The Bible says God pours water on ground that's thirsty. You got to thirst for this. I want mine and I want it right now this year. I'm telling you, 2012 is going to be a glorious year. It's going to be the year of the blessing of the Lord. Look at verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited what else? The labor of the people. The labor of the people, that means what they labored to get, you're going to inherit. Come on over here to Ecclesiastes, please. And Ecclesiastes, Lord have mercy. Oh, feel the Holy Ghost. Ecclesiastes and chapter 2, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And look at verse 26. I'm just reading these right now because we're moving into the golden age. We're moving into a time that God is now going to comfort Zion. Everything that's making you uncomfortable, he's about to remove that. He's going to bring you into a place that you lack nothing. Say amen again. Look what it said in verse 26. And God had given to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth what? Travail, to gather and to do what? Heap up, that he may give to him that is what? Good before God. So the sinner has a job. And the job that the sinner has is to heap up. The sinner is out there working for you. I said working for you, heaping it up. Now, I'm not going to back off of this because I'm going to start preaching the wealth transfer. See, we've been waiting too long. Our days of waiting are over. It's time, Alabahosha, it's time for that which is ours to come into our hands. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. I'm done with it. Praise God. Now, I remember what Pharaoh tried to do. He tried to talk Moses out of getting what Moses came to get. He said, no, Moses, why don't you leave and just leave the kids with us? Moses said, no, Doc, uh-uh. Tried to even get Moses to delay his departure. No, no more delays. Say no more delays. Now, I preach that, and I'm preaching it from the Holy Ghost. So it's up to you to receive it. Say amen to that. Changing your world. Say, I'm changing my world. See, the enemy is not supposed to change you. You're supposed to change the enemy. When I say that, I mean, the devil's not supposed to tell you what to do. You tell him what to do. You go into a place and look like no peace in there. Tell him right now, announce the fact that peace has come. Say, I'm up in here right now and peace is coming in this place. All y'all's bickering and arguing has got to go. Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, I'm looking to the day when we'll have no sick in the church. I said, no, not one. If God can't repair it, he's going to replace it. With something from heaven, I'm talking about. I'm talking about new kidneys, new eardrums, new uterus. Alabahasha. Boy, that came out of the Holy Ghost. Hey, 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 hey. And I got a feeling all we got to do is speak it. I said all we got to do is speak it. Boy, I feel something down. I feel like. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ah, goodness. Well, give the Lord a praise. This is what we got tonight. Amen. All right. Now, what am I saying? God is for you. There's things that he's laid up for you. There's things that in this earth are supposed to be yours. But the enemy has used spiritual forces to try to keep those things away. And I'm telling you, no more delays. No more delays. We have settled for nothing long enough. And now we're going to get it all. I told somebody the other day, it's like I see a big balloon and it's got a lot of water in it. And all of a sudden, something hit it and water just gushed out everywhere. Say amen to that. I call it showers of blessings. And then I saw this thing with one of these, what do you call them? The Mexican piñatas, yeah. And I saw all of a sudden something hit it. And blessings went everywhere. Come on now. I believe if we just press, something will break. The water broke. Amen. You can get to an atmosphere that is an atmosphere where miracles take place. You can come in here with nothing and leave out with $400. Now, I got angels in here now. They can take it and put it in your pocketbook. Amen. Without you knowing. See, y'all looking at me like a calf. See, just like they're going further, the world's going further under dominion, you're going further over dominion. See, it's going to be more happening in the church today than it was 400 years ago. How many faith people do I have? If you're here, God's spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to pray with you right now. Now listen, as you look at your life, you know where you stand with God. Now here's why I'm telling you this, because what we talk about here tonight is your